Yeah. Welcome to the program. Not just any program, but the Friday edition of the Turtleneck Tan Man. Yes, sir! I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. All right, let me tell you about the program. Good Friday show for you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Get out in front of it. Hit me up right now. Lots to talk about. In the meantime, well, there I am. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're only going to get 2 hours of this. 2 hours of the Turtleneck Tan Man. Three-hour program, but only 2 hours of TV. Yes, I busted it out in honor of a few things. Number one, Alvin wants me to remove the wire so the turtleneck is more visible. How you like me now? All right, anyway, thank you. I'm doing it for a few reasons. Number one, it is turtleneck weather. Number two, Adam Thielen is joining me in the last hour. Now, he won't see it because we won't be on TV in the last hour. However, I will be representing. The T-neck is purple. Number three, in honor of the thunderstorm. Thunder snow. Can't believe they're moving that game. We talked about it yesterday. But given what everybody's dealing with and the weather, I thought that I would represent from Cali with the purple turtleneck. Not just any T-neck for Tan Man, but a purple one. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to call up and tell me how awesome I look, I'm here for it. In the meantime, you can also hit me up on Twitter. In fact, I've never been more urgent about that. Hit me up on Twitter before there is no Twitter. I didn't know that Twitter was going to last the night. Hit us up on Twitter before there is no Twitter. At Jim Rome. JTP. The hell are you going to do? You are the JTP. Jungle Twitter Posse. What are you going to do when they rip the plug out of the wall? Also, in the meantime, you can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Carlton Marshall is a senior linebacker for Troy. Great story. He joins me at 9:40. Second hour is wide open. Adam Thielen, 11:40. Alvy's week that was. An ATP coming up. And already, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets is live. Don't listen to it until after the program. But if you listened to it before the game last night and you took my pick, you would have won. If you took James Kelly's pick, you would have got your ass kicked. I went Titans and the points. Easy money, yo. Easy money. Felt good. All right, so why don't we start right there? There is a very good football team, I want to say. A really good football team. And it's getting almost no love. It's getting almost no run. No hype, no respect, no attention. Here's a hint. They kicked Green Bay's ass in Lambeau last night. Put some respect on the Tennessee Titans, y'all, like I did before the game. Now that the game has been played, it's not too late. In fact, it's mandatory. Do it. Put some respect on the Titans, y'all. They're now 7-3. Third straight year they've been 7-3 or better to start. They're in first in the AFC South by a mile. That division essentially is already wrapped up. They're the reigning AFC number one seed. What exactly is it going to take for people to put some respect on these dudes? They've got a tremendous head coach. They've got a Hall of Fame freight train in their backfield. I mean, that Hall of Fame freight train has been a nonstop Godzilla smashing up an entire city rampage on one for pretty much four straight years. And last night with that game on the line, this is the best part of all. Last night with that game on the line, they had that dude, stop and throw a pass. 5:21 left in the third. Green Bay hanging on for dear life, not just in the game, but for their entire season. Second and goal. Everybody knows who's going to get the rock. Everybody knows what's coming. Everybody, well, Everybody knew, but everybody was dead wrong because this, in fact, is what happened.
Can they punch it in here on second and goal? The give is to Henry. He'll throw, and Henry throws a touchdown to Austin Hooper. They hand it to Henry before he gets to the line of scrimmage. He floats a three-yard touchdown to Hooper, his first of the year, and the Titans pull one out of the back of the playbook to take a 20-9 lead.
Genius. Genius. Jump pass, yo. Jump pass. Derrick Henry, the king, with a jump pass. Everybody take a knee for Tebow.
Timothy Tebow.
Tennessee's got a dude who could run right through a cement wall, and they've got this guy stopping on a dime and tossing pop passes in prime time. And not only that, he did it and then called himself a young Pinky.
You know, I call myself a young Peyton Manning, so it felt good. And I was happy Hoop caught it and we were able to score.
Yo, big dude, don't even sell yourself short like that. Young Pinky would not last 3 seconds in your world, King. Young Pinky would not last 3 seconds being Derrick Henry. Young Pinky would snap clear in half after three carries. They would have to refuse Pinky's spine. After every single drive, if Pinky ever tried to do anything that Derrick Henry does on the weekly. Sometimes coaching football really is that simple, though. You've got every dude in the stadium, everybody on the field, and everybody in the stadium knowing that that dude is going to get the ball, knowing that that dude is going to put his shoulder down, his head down, and run straight through. Instead, he pulls up, and he pops a jump pass to my man Austin Hooper. Mike Vrabel and his staff have been making it look easy all year long, and last night was their best night yet. Their best night, unfortunately, Titans OC Todd Downing's worst night. It looked like he was having a good night. He made the easy part into the hard part. He called probably the best game of his time in Tennessee last night, and then he botched the part about getting home sober afterwards because Downing was booked at 4:39 local time this morning and back in Nashville for speeding and driving under the influence, which is brutal, just brutal, and brutally stupid. The jump pass was a nice play call, my dude. I'd probably love a pop or two as well if I dialed that up and beat Green Bay and Lambeau. However, I would mix in a ride service or a designated driver or something responsible. Way to kill the buzz, my guy. Here I am trying to put some respect on the Titans, and there you are getting absolutely lit on the team flight and then trying to drive home like a clown. Act like you've been there before, Todd Downing. Act like you've called a decent game in your life before. Act like you've called one good play before. Most importantly, stop putting yourself and, way more importantly, the rest of us at great risk. Be responsible. Man, there is no excuse. Absolutely no excuse for that at all. At least the Packers did not have a coach booked for a DUI last night. If there is a silver lining for Green Bay, that would be it, because on the field, they went straight back to being dog crap. Although I will say this, Christian Watson may not be a bust after all. 6 days ago, this dude had zero career TDs, and every Packer fan was calling him a catastrophic failure. 6 days later, dude has five career touchdowns, and he is mossing dudes in the end zone. This guy's playing with swagger, he's playing with confidence, and it seemingly has come out of nowhere. That's the good news. That's the actual silver lining for Green Bay. Watson? Everything else, though, Watson?
Terrible news. And you can tell that by listening to how Aaron Rodgers sounded in his post-game presser.
Listen to the way this thing starts. Check out the way the first question went for him.
Aaron, why do you think you guys missed some of those wide-open plays downfield today?
I missed a couple throws for sure. I'm not sure exactly which ones you're talking about, but I definitely missed a couple throws.
That shows you how times have changed in Green Bay.
the very first question after a game. Hey, Aaron, why did you miss all those wide open throws? I mean, nobody can deny it. He did. He's missing throws. He's missing throws that he's always hit. Aaron is missing throws that he has hit every single week his entire life. Aaron is missing so many throws, he's not even sure which missing throws that the reporter's asking about.
I definitely missed a couple throws.
And given the way their defense played, given the way their special teams always plays, my man can't ever miss a throw if they're going to have any shot whatsoever. See, reality is Aaron does not look like the same dude who ran off back-to-back MVPs. And that's not some hot take, right? That's pretty obvious. The numbers show it. Their record shows it. All you need is a pair of eyes to see it. And that Packer come-from-behind win over Dallas meant nothing. It did not jumpstart their season. That's not who they are. The team we saw last night, this is who they are. That's who they've been the entire year. That game, the come-from-behind win over Dallas, told us a hell of a lot more about Dallas than it did Green Bay. The Packers are going to have to win, I don't know, 5 of their last 6, maybe even run the table to have any shot at getting into the postseason. And if you watched even 5 minutes of this team this year, you know there is no shot in hell of that happening. They had to have that game last night. Had to have that game last night, and they were never even in that game last night. So no, they're not going to run the table. They're not going to win 5 of 6. That was supposed to be a jump start, the win over Dallas, and they came out flat, and they got beaten down, and they were never even in that game last night. But give Aaron this. At least he still has his sense of humor. That's why this dude is getting grilled at the podium, and he's still rolling with it. Give him that. He's still pretty funny. He can still get hit with a zinger and have a response like this.
Where do you go from here, Aaron?
Home.
Okay. Well, I mean, as a team, after, again, I know you talk about a lot, man. You won a lot of games here. This is a pretty rare spot for you.
Yeah, the season's not over. There's still 6 opportunities left.
So, Aaron, where do you go from here? Home.
Home.
D-O-A-R-I-P. Packers, 2022. The Packers season has about as much shelf life left as Twitter. At least that's what Twitter was saying about Twitter last night. And it honestly would have been a devastating night for Packer fan to lose Twitter. What would Packer fan have done last night without Twitter? What would Packer fan do if they couldn't whine and complain and cry about Aaron and the perfectly coiffed Matt LaFleur and the front office and their wide receivers and the secondary and their special teams? I mean, what is Packer fan going to do without Twitter? That's all the fun they have these days. But then again, forget about Packer fan. What about the aforementioned JTP? What the hell? Because after all, that's all the fun the JTP has these days. In fact, that's all the fun the JTP has ever had. The JTP. They're literally called the Jungle Twitter Posse. They have Twitter in their handle. They have Twitter in their name. The Jungle Twitter Posse, aka My Keyboard Bags. Do you guys have a contingency plan? What if Twitter does go down? What if we don't make it through the show? What if Twitter dies in the next hour? What if somebody sneaks into the hospital room and rips the plug out the wall and Twitter is dead? Then what? Am I going to have to buy a fax machine in the year 2022 for the JTP? The JFP? The Jungle Fax Posse? How's that sound, JF Peters? The JFP. Hey, yo, JFP. They're just losing their minds right now. Hey, JFP, how are you going to complain about every single thing that happens on this show if Twitter goes down? How are you going to fire off your oh-so-original Oge, Bison Dele, Mama Cass, Billy Joel, John Denver, and Jay Leno takes. Fax machines do not work as fast. Back in the day, I think our record for number of faxes received during any given show was 331. I think that was the record. You imagine, like, the JFP trying to get their faxes in and getting a busy signal, or me running out of toner and them not getting it on the air and nobody seeing it. Yeah, I don't know. You know what that means, don't you? JFPers. You might have to actually call the program to participate in the program, which would be pretty wild. I mean, can you imagine that? Physically calling. What a concept. Y'all better hope Twitter survives, JTP. I know for a fact that Downing, Todd Downing, wishes Twitter did die last night, if not even earlier than that, or sooner than that, or this second. That way he wouldn't have to see the Todd Downing tequila shots trending, or have his mugshot spreading like wildfire. I'm not making light of this at all. I mean, it is so beyond reprehensible at this point not to get a ride. With 8 million ride services, and especially you're an NFL team, you don't think they can get you home?
1 million.
Hey, Tanqueray Downing. Credit for taking the most normal DUI mugshot. You're not slobbering. You're not shirtless. You're not wearing a paper suit. So credit for that, I suppose. Tito's Downing. But my man, there is no excuse. That's not one bad night. That's not a, quote, mistake or a bad decision. It's inexcusable. In the game, Todd called the Wildcat. After the game, apparently, he called the Wild Turkey. I mean, come on, man. Bad deal. Bad things, bad stuff. And no, don't tell me to bring back the celebrity drunk bus, because that also now is inappropriate. Much like the adult alarm that got brought back yesterday for just a moment. Things that I did back in the day that may have seemed funny at the time, may have even been funny at the time, are not funny at all anymore, unfortunately. Or fortunately. Times change. Sometimes people don't, but times change. 1-800-636-8686. My main takeaway from last night, number one, put some damn respect on the Titans. They earned it. Long ago, put some respect on them. I'm looking at you, James Kelly. Number two, Packers DOA. They're done. They're done. They're not coming back. They're not bouncing back. That win over Dallas meant nothing. That was not a turnaround game. That was not a jumpstart for their season. That's not who they are. Last night is who they are. All right, in addition to that, if not for that game, I would have started with LaLire and Jalen Ramsey showing up on a stream alongside LaLire and calling him a liar to his face. That was incredible, actually. I mean, sure, it would be better if the Rams were not such an amazing disappointment, but how many guys other than Jalen Ramsey would go on with LeBron and all of his yes guys and LaLire him to his face when LeBron tried to act like he knows how to fix the Rams' defensive problems? That was an amazing moment, which I will get to a little bit later on. Additionally, I want to talk about Tua. Tua had a lot of haters. Tua had a lot of people rushing in to bury him. Tua is now the second choice to win the NFL MVP award. Tua is 7-0 in games that he has started and completed. I mean, it's wild. So a little credit for him. Another matchup that I think is really interesting, I thought before this, but now it's even more interesting. You've got the Jets and the Pats. Interesting in and of itself, and one of the games that the Big Head and I talk about on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. But now Zach Wilson is popping off. Zach Wilson is tired of the heat and tired of the hate. Zach Wilson had a little something for, quote, everybody outside the building. So that game just got more interesting. So we'll get to that. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Hold on, one bit of reaction, Avi. Because the guy is a smack-off ledge. Mark in Hollywood, quote, "Aw, did little itty-bitty Buffalo Bills get scared of a teeny weeny widow snowstorm? How cute." Yeah, I don't know, Mark. I don't think the Bills moved that game. I don't think the Bills were afraid of a widow itty-bitty teeny weeny widow snowstorm. We're showing it right now on CBS Sports Network. That doesn't look so teeny witty, witty, itty bitty, teeny witty. That looks pretty nasty. That looks pretty dark and pretty cold with limited visibility. That looks like turtleneck weather right there. Rome Slice, get ready to drive on, baby. Let's go.
Get ready.
Intoxicatingly yours. Todka downing shots. All right, so I did a little bit of that at the end of the take, but I'm not making light of this at all. And even then, if you have a big win on Thursday night and you jump that charter back home and you have a few pops, fine. Just make damn sure there's somebody there who can drive you home after you do that. I'm not saying you can't get on that plane now if you pops after a big win. Just don't get behind the wheel of the car and try to get yourself home. Oh, and Sir Cringe-a-Lot is at it again. Captain Cringe. Commander Cringe. Russ, at it again. I've got that for you, too. All right, Albie. Now we can break. NFL Sundays are getting better, and so are the amazing offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. So what you want to do is go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, combine multiple bets like which team's going to win, player props, and point totals. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, and then place a $5 pregame moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team does win. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be present in the state where it's lawful to wager. 21 or older in most eligible states, but age does vary by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Parlay and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per an employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. All it takes is a quick and easy free 10-minute ERC consultation and find out if you qualify or not. It is that simple. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 30 days. CPAs and payroll companies alike even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. They're that knowledgeable and efficient. And with over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined, you can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. I always say this, but It's a credit, not a loan. If you have any specific ERC questions and you want to take advantage of this, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out. I know a number of companies that have heard me talk about this on this show that made that phone call that got paid big time. You'd be foolish not to try. Hey, Rome, seriously, y'all still wondering why Rodgers is missing open throws? Dude hates his coach and is trying to get him fired. Dino in Vegas. Yeah, I don't know, Dino. I think I'm pretty safe in assuming that's not the reason he's missing wide-ass open throws. I mean, I'll give you that. He's missing wide-open throws that he has never missed ever before. I'm not even saying that he loves his perfectly coiffed coach. I'm going to say that he doesn't hate him. But even if he did, he would not do something to hurt his team in order to get his coach fired at this juncture of his career. So what I'm going to say is that's not a good call. Not a very good call, Dino. I don't run many emails, but I'm going to run that email. He's not doing it to get his coach fired because he hates his coach. He's not even sure why he's doing it. If he knew why he was doing it, he would stop doing it. I've got a theory on why Aaron is missing wide open guys. You know, we could talk about how they don't have the same chemistry, they're not on the same page, they're young players. Or part of it is Aaron's just not what he used to be. Happens to us all. However, Dino, if it'll make you feel better, you are not alone in that thinking. The great Trevor Price and I did a podcast back in the day. And Trevor Price was on that years ago, long before anybody said anything. Not long after Matt LaFleur showed up, Trevor Price was going on, almost on the weekly on our podcast, about how Aaron Rodgers hated his coach.
Can we say the most truthful thing in the world? Aaron Rodgers hates that guy. Can we just be honest? And I am not talking about Jim. I'm not talking about the exchange in the sideline, right? Where they were getting at each other and yelling at each other's face. I'm talking about the things he says in the paper. Anytime your quarterback says about your coach, hey, if you're friends with Sean McVay, they'll give you a job. And your head coach happens to be a friend of Sean McVay who got that job because he was in the Rams staff, you are saying something. You are saying something. Watch Aaron Rodgers on the sideline hug it out with Mike Bettini, with the defensive corner, the defensive coordinator who was in Baltimore with me and in the Jets with me. Watch how Aaron Rodgers talks to this guy. What you cannot do, what these team GMs and owners cannot do, is give an old, cranky man like Aaron Rodgers a kid for a coach. You cannot do that. That was listen to me right now. Clones, everybody listen. That is going to burn down, and I don't care how many games they win.
All right, so a couple of things. Number one, that sounds almost topical. Like you could have said that this week. Trevor Price said that to me in the year 2019. Give him that. Now, his credibility is hurt when he talks about the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine. You mean Pettin? Trev? Trevor's the best. Pettine. Look at the way he's hugging on Mike Pettine.
Hugging out with Mike Pettine.
Trevor, you're the best. Hey, Trevor Porter, you're the best. No, but, I mean, Trev said that in 2019. He said that about Aaron and Matt LaFleur in 2019. Big Head would say something like that. Yeah, what about Mike Pettine? All right, I got to get out. When we come back, more on that game last night. Instead of talking about what the Packers are not, can we talk about what the Titans are? Totally underrated, totally disrespected. What do they have to do for you to put some respect on them? I love them. Carlton Marshall joins me next. Adam Thielen in hour three. Right now, here is a sports update. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Still true. It is the Jim Rome Show. I am in Southern California. Great to be with you. Coming up in hour number three, last segment of the show, in fact, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Right now, as promised, we are joined by a senior linebacker for Troy University. Not only that, he is the all-time FBS leader in tackles. He had a career-high 22 in a 10-9 win over Army. They've won four straight. Actually, he's had four straight games with 100 or more tackles. Troy is 8-2 overall. They're in first in the Sun Belt, and they are going to play host to Louisiana Monroe tomorrow. Carlton Marshall is my guest. Carlton, great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
All right, so great to have you. Love your background. Love your story. I got to know, when did you first start thinking about that record? And given your journey, what does the achievement mean to you?
You know, honestly, the record has never been on my mind. I tried to keep it, I would try to be where my feet were. You know, I tried to keep my mind off the individual goals and focus more on the team. And I believe the Army Week, right Monday, a lot of the players started to try to bring it up to me and let me know, hey, if you're only this amount away. I said, hey, we need to focus on beating Army this week. So, yeah, that's what my mindset really was.
I get that. Carlton Marshall is joining us. For the record, though, I mentioned your journey. For the record, how many FBS scholarship offers did you receive coming out of high school?
Not one.
Single scholarship offer, and you've got this record. What about FCS? How many FCS offers?
Yes, sir. I don't have an exact number, but I know D2 schools. It was North Alabama, Valdosta State, West Florida, HBCUs, Alabama A&M. They were actually my first offer. So, yes, sir, teams around that area.
Okay, so how did you end up at Troy, and why did you decide to walk on there?
You know, I've had family, go to South as well as Troy. They are my older cousins and maybe a few aunts and uncles as well. You know, they told me the type of city Troy is, small town. The college is basically the city. But, it was just nice meeting people here, getting to know, lifelong friends that I've met here. K.J. Robinson, first guy that popped into my head. I was grateful to be here in the journey. It was a long recruiting process for me and my family. We just sat down and made that decision. It was either North Alabama or Troy. And, sitting back, making a decision, I made the best choice.
You bet. Carlton Marshall is joining us. He's the all-time FBS leader in tackles. So I'm curious, when you get on campus, what was your mindset? Were you thinking to yourself, hey, I'm going to win, or I'm going to be honored as an all-conference member a number of times. I'm going to set an all-time record. Or maybe were you trying to pick up that scholarship, get your education paid for? Were you looking for playing time? What was your mindset when you walked on?
Well, my mindset when I walked on, my father told me I had to come here and be a Swiss Army knife, try to be able to do everything, But my mindset when I got here is just giving my all out there and play the cards that you're dealt. I just did what I could and just trying to go out there and give it all to the team.
All right, so when you first arrived, were you looking to prove the folks who invited you to walk on at Troy right, or were you looking to prove most of the rest of the world wrong?
I would say prove the rest of the world wrong. Of course, you look at me on film, you look at me in person, I'm not big in stature, but, that's not going to stop me to go out there lay it all out there on the field for those other 10 guys on there.
Dude, we talk about this all the time, right? They can't measure heart. They can look at you and look at the measurables, but they cannot measure heart. For those who don't know, when you say that, you're listed at 5'9", 210, but you've posted 100-plus tackles four straight years. If I were to ask you to self-scout or break down your game, what is it that makes you such a tackling machine at that size? Is it technique? Is it the ability to read and react, or is it something else?
I can say this to everyone who asks me. I can speak all day about, those guys in front of me, Buddha Jones, Will Cholo, Richard Jubinar, Javon Solomon, guys like that, they keep me free out there just able to chase the ball. But it comes to, more just being a player within the defense, because our defensive coordinator, Shil Wood, he likes to express that, you know, he really hones in on that, you know, little details. And once you do your job and get everything handled, you know, you chase the ball with like your hair is on fire. So, you know, that's just one thing that we try to preach.
All right, so I understand that. You're definitely about the team. You're about the guys around you. I know that you have great gratitude, but you are one of three finalists for the Burlesworth Trophy. It's given each year to the nation's top player who started their career as a walk-on, and you were a finalist for that same award last season. What would it mean to you to end your college career by winning that prestigious award?
You know, that would mean the world, actually the world to me. You know, I still keep in touch, you know, every now and then with last year's winner, Grant Morgan. You know, we didn't get to know each other that well, but the time that I was there, you know, we got a good relationship. You know, it'll be nice to see Seth and Bennett up there again, you know, old Seth. You know, I think me and his father have a really good relationship, better than me and him did. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's a huge deal, and I'm just thankful.
Carlton Marshall is joining us. You know, you mentioned a few moments ago the recruiting process and what that was like. It's the first season for new head coach John Sumrall, who recruited you in high school when he was Troy's linebackers coach. Then he moved on to jobs at Ole Miss in Kentucky, and now he's back, and you guys are having a great year. Do you feel like your career's kind of come full circle now that you've teamed up with him once again, and this was the guy who did believe in you in the recruiting process?
Oh, yes, sir. Most definitely. You know, it was nice having that sense of familiarity. You know, just getting knowing Coach Summerall and knowing how he is, how he feels about his players, you know, just how he goes about himself and how he holds himself. You know, I knew we were dealing with, you know, a very hard-nosed, heady coach that just, you know, just put it all for his team. And he will never tell you a lie. He will always tell you the truth. And he'll look out for your best interest in the long run. So it was just nice to have him back.
Well, you just nailed it. Isn't that exactly what you want from a head coach? Somebody who's not going to tell you what you want to hear, but rather what you need to hear. Somebody who's going to tell you things that are going to make you better. Somebody who's going to let you know exactly where you stand, and somebody who does care about you. Isn't that exactly what you want in a head coach?
No, yes, sir, most definitely. When I first got here, you know, we sat down and had a talk. I had to have a reality check, you know, look myself in the mirror and tell myself, okay, you need to do this, 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 you know, make a list of things that I know I had to work at and get better on my own. You know, Coach Summerall, he definitely, you know, helped me out in the long run with that, even when I first got here, and many other coaches I can name. You know, even this week we have our dedication game against Louisiana Monroe. I'm dedicating this game to Coach Webb Hamilton. He was one of the first coaches that believed in me, other than Coach Summerall. So it's nice that he'll be at this game this week.
So really quickly, a thought about him. Why, in terms of a dedication game, what has he meant to you, and why are you going to dedicate the game to him?
You know, he was, I would say, when I first got here, he was like that angel on my shoulder. You know, when I first got here, he told me, okay, Carlton, we both know you're not the biggest, you're not the fastest, but it's certain little details in your game that can give you that extra competitive edge out there on that field to make some guys like, oh, wow, he's already at the play like that. You know, just simple things like that, reading my simple keys, and like we preach now, just being a player within the defense. You know, he really guided me through my first few years here at Troy.
Carlton, this is bigger than football in a way, it seems to me, like what you just said. I guarantee there are a number of people listening right now that have been told, you're not big enough, you're not fast enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, you don't look good enough. So when people are telling you those things, you might start to believe it and just kind of shut down, and that becomes your reality. You obviously did not approach it that way. When you were being told things like, you're not big enough, you're not fast enough, what did you do with that information?
You know, honestly, I just put it on the back burner. I kept it in the back of my head. And a lot of people don't know this about me. Even when I first got here, you know, I contemplated on not playing the game anymore. But sitting down, having talked to Coach Webb Hamilton, as well as my brother and my family, you know, they said, go back to what really made you start the game. Why do you love this game? You know, once that question was answered, you know, the rest is history.
Carlton, think about that for a minute. You are the sport's all-time leading tackler, and you almost quit the game. How close did you come to not playing?
No, I can say it's kind of hard to look back now. You know, I've been here for, 6 years? You know, it's kind of hard to, you know, look back now and see what was really going through my mind. But I know, you know, I was kind of teetering. I was on the fence about it. But, you know, having those good talks and having that backbone, you know, that having my family as my backbone, and Coach Webb, you know, that played a huge role.
It's such a powerful message, right? When you think that maybe you don't want to do it, when you think about abandoning the dream, don't do it, because look what's in front of you. Look at the experience and look what might still be in front of you. And then finally, I know it's about team goals. I know it's about your current situation. Hey, have you thought about how you might project on the next level? For instance, what are you being told and how do you feel about your NFL prospects?
I actually have not been told where I'm prospective for the next level, but, you know, like I said earlier, I would like to be where my feet are, you know, focus on finishing out this season with a conference championship. You know, we'll see where that leads us.
All right, that's next up, Louisiana Monroe tomorrow. And in the meantime, the one thing they cannot take from you, an all-time leader in tackles for the FBS, Carlton Marshall, my guest. Carlton, great to meet you. Great to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much and good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you. How about that? Not a single FBS scholarship offer, but the all-time leader in tackles in FBS play. Amazing. He mentioned he'd been there 6 years. He got an extra year because of COVID, but that's a great story. 5'9", 210, and thought, you know, I'm not sure I want to do this, but those close to him said, hey, listen, remember, you love the game. Remember why you love the game. Don't give in to this. You can do this. And he stayed at it, and he is the all-time leader in tackles for FBS play. All right, so we come back with hour number two. In that second hour, I want to talk more about last night's game. Again, two things, right? Packer fan thought when they came back on Dallas, all right, that's what we needed. That's going to jumpstart our year. Now we're back. When in reality, it meant nothing at all. That told me more about Dallas than it did Green Bay. Green Bay is, quote, who we thought they were. An average to below average team. Tennessee, on the other hand, is who I thought they were, and now they better be who you think they should be, if that makes sense. They're that good. Stay tuned.